Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast bringing you the latest interviews and news inside the Debian community, brought to you by frostbitemedia.org, the network bringing you your favorite GNU Linux podcasts. Hello, welcome to this episode. Today we are recording outside of the Frostbite Media Studios because outside is quieter than inside, so you may hear some background noise, but like I said, it's quieter out here than it is inside. So we're recording during the day, and well, it's been quite a while since, unfortunately, we put out a podcast, but there is good news. My internship is over, which is kind of good news because I can get back to podcasting. And, well, the bad news is I'm not at the FSF anymore, but there's lots of stuff going on, and hopefully this podcast will catch everyone up. I guess first off is I went to the Ohio Linux Fest. It's a few days after that, and, well, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself here. Before I get to the Ohio Linux Fest, I want to talk about the feeds. We will be changing feeds by November 1st. So we have about 6 weeks or so. The normal feeds will keep working, but as of November 1st, whatever the last podcast we record, we will announce that November 1st is going to be the day we're switching, and then the next podcast after that will be on the new feeds. Stay tuned. We will be telling people what the feeds are over the podcast, and also if you don't want to type them in manually, you can just go to frostbitemedia.org. And we're just going to redirect all the feeds to the correct ones, and then you can, you know, sign up through the feeds there. So, excuse me, put that out of the way. We will be switching feeds, so stay tuned. So, Ohio Linux Fest. This was the first fest I went to. We did have, you know, the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, which that I put on, but I had never gone to a fest, and this was the first one I went to. And, of course, we'll have to get out of the way. The normal, you know, it's all about the people, which it definitely is. I got a chance to meet a ton of people that listen to the podcast. I got to hang out with all the other podcasters like Claw2, who interviewed me for a Hacker Public Radio episode. I hung out with Door to Door Geek. We were staying in the same room, so we hung out a lot. I got to meet Dave Yates from a lot of Linux Links. I got to meet Russ Winter from the Techie Geek. Tracy Holtz, also from the Techie Geek. It was an awesome time. I got there Friday, and I saw Mad Dog's talk on the 20th anniversary of Linux. And there were two things that I thought were great in this talk. The first one was that Mad Dog said he's becoming more into the camp of Richard Stallman. He's more concerned about the freedom of software instead of calling it open source. He doesn't like that term. He hates how that term was even coined. And he would rather call free software instead of open source software. And I thought that was awesome. And another thing that he said that I thought was a really interesting way of putting it too is, you know, he was talking about why they started calling free software open source because of people thinking that, oh, well, if it's free, then it's no good. And so we have to change the name. And the one thing that he said that was interesting was, and instead of, you know, worrying about the cost of the software, the freeness of the software in that sense, it's more of what's the value that the software is giving you. And I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it, the value of the software that you receive from while using it. I thought that was a really cool way of putting it. What else about the fest? On Saturday, I did not see any talks at all. I was just too busy. I was going from table to table. We were talking to vendors for the next Northeast GNU Linux Fest, which that is in full strive of being worked on, and it will be in April again this year. There'll be more upcoming information about that, but it is being worked on. The Northeast GNU Linux Fest will be coming, so it will be in April, and like I said, there'll be more on that. So we were going from table to table talking to people. It's just really cool to meet a lot of people. And, again, like I said, people like, oh, you know, I listened to the podcast, and like I said, I got to hang out with the other podcasters, and I also got to see how the Ohio Linux Fest ran things, and I have to say, it's, definitely different from how the GNU Linux Fest, is, and will probably always be. I talked to a few vendors, and they were interested in, the way that, we were approaching the GNU Linux Fest, and they were interested in more of a grassroots and advocate approach to it instead of a more corporate structure, and which was good to hear, because, I mean, you know, who wants to keep going to the same fest over and over and over, and we'd like to try and take a different approach. So, you know, it was just good to talk to the vendors and hear about what they're working on, and I spoke with the HP rep, and that was pretty interesting, too. I went up to the table, and I was like, so, tell me what HP does for open source. I wanted to use his terms, because I figured they'd throw him for a loop if I said free software. So, like, tell me what HP does for open source. And he was like, well, and he started rattling off all these things they do. And I thought it was amazing that there's actually, of course, I can't remember the website, but there's a website that HP maintains, and it's called Open Source Something, or I can't remember now, but they actually maintain sort of a wiki for what started this conversation. I was like, well, how come, you know, HP doesn't sell desktops with, you know, GNU Linux on them? And him and his partner kind of chuckled, and they're like, oh, lad, we haven't heard that question yet today. And so he was saying that they don't officially support, like, GNU Linux on their notebooks and desktops, but they have this page, and it talks about, like, a lot of things, a lot of the GNU Linuxes that are compatible with their hardware. And he started rattling off a ton of stuff, and I just thought that was cool. I never knew HP even, you know, had a portal like that for help if you're running GNU Linux on HP products. So I thought that was really cool. Obviously, HP's doing a lot of server stuff with Red Hat and SUSE, but, you know, so that was cool. What other vendors did I run into? The people at SourceForge, the EFF, couple of virtual sort of services. I talked to the guys at CloudStack. They were cool. Let's see, what else? The after party, the pre-party and after party, those were done really well. It's very professional. It was in the hotel. The pre-party and after party were in different rooms, but it was still very professional the way they had it done. I was really impressed with they went all out. I mean, even at lunchtime on Saturday, they had like these sort of like box lunches, and you got like a sandwich and chips and a cookie. And even that was like, I mean, it was just done really well. I mean, all in all, the Ohio Linux Fest is not skimping anywhere, and they just did a really great job. And, you know, I was really impressed. I also met Elon from Scale. He was a really cool guy, too. I met Jeremy Sands, who's on the DistroCast podcast, who also helps coordinate the Southeast Linux Fest. Let's see, what else did we do? Yeah, I mean, it was just a great day of, you know, talking with everyone and hanging out. And I also hung out with a few people that listen to the Pod Nuts station, and not station, but, you know, like Frostbite Media and the Twit broadcasting, Steve Cherubinos. You should listen to that if you guys don't listen to any of the Podnuts shows. He's got some great shows on there. Let's see, what else did we do for Ohio? I think that's about it. I mean, it was just a really great time. I went with, I don't know if I should use his name. He was saying he wanted to see if someone could come up with his name. My partner who edits all the Frostbite Media stuff and who we did Frostbite Systems together, people started calling him the Ghost. I don't know if that'll stick or not, but so I went down with him. He was a champion because he is the one that had to drive all the way to Ohio, and it took about 14 hours. So, I mean, we didn't do it straight through, but I mean, he was the one that had to drive all the way. So hats off to him. And, yeah, it was just a great time. I mean, if you've never been to a fest, you really, I mean, I know everyone always says this, but you really, really have to go. It's just, words can't really describe it. It's just cool to be able to hang out with people you talk to online all the time. You sent emails back and forth. You spent time on IRC chatting back and forth. Maybe you've been interviewed on a podcast. Maybe you do the interviewing. Either way, it's just a great way to finally catch up with people and meet them face to face and hang out and, you know, talk about maybe even other stuff other than Linux. Not that that happens too often, but, you know, it's just cool to be able to hang out. So it was a great time. Really highly recommend. Get to one that's near you if you don't feel like traveling. I mean, there's so many GNU Linux Fest popping up all over the place that it's hard not to find one now. So I'd highly recommend getting to one. And like I said, the Northeast GNU Linux Festival will be coming up in April, so everything's full steam ahead with that, and everything's coming together quite well. So, I'd like to talk about also the, you know what, before I talk about interning at the FSF, one other thing that when Mad Dog was talking about, it was his talk about the Linux's 20th birthday, and there's one thing that I really felt like he overlooked, and I guess I kind of see why or whatever, but I think it's an important thing. And I was talking to someone about this the other day is, everyone talks about, Linus made the Linux kernel and Stallman had all these other, the GNU tools and all he needed was the kernel and everything came together. Well, it wasn't totally like that. I mean, Linus did make the kernel, but he originally released it under some like non-commercial license and, you know, it was going to be very restricted as to, you know, who could really use it. I mean, Red Hat wouldn't exist if it was for the non-commercial license, and other companies wouldn't exist. So, you know, Stallman talked to Linus about, the GPL. So if it was not for the GPL, the GNU public license, Linux wouldn't be where it is today. I mean, GNU wouldn't be, well, GNU would have been because everything was GPL'd, but I mean, if it weren't for the GPL, we wouldn't be experiencing the things we experienced with, like, our GNU Linux desktops and, like, you know, Android and, you know, Facebook. Not that some people would care, but Facebook wouldn't exist, Red Hat wouldn't exist, Google wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the GPL license. That is really the crux of everything, is the GPL license, and that's what gave the freedom for Linux to become what it's become today. That's what's given the freedom for free software to become what it's become today. We wouldn't have our GNU Linux desktops because none of that software would be GPL. None, you know, Pigeon or Empathy, Firefox isn't on GPL, I don't think, but you know what I'm saying. Like, all these individual pieces of software, GIMP, like, none of this stuff would be GPL'd. So it's more of the GPL license we should be thanking than even Linux. If it wasn't for Stallman talking to Linus, that would never have happened. So who knows where it would be if it weren't for the GPL. But anyways, speaking of the GPL, I'd like to talk about my internship at the FSF. It was an awesome time. I highly, highly, highly recommend anyone, if you're looking for an internship, if you're a college student or whatever, you must intern at the FSF. You don't have to go to the office every day. For summer interns, they like to kind of find someone that would be able to go to the office because they like for them to get, like, the full experience. But if you're interning during the fall semester or a spring semester, you can even, you know, intern remotely. I highly recommend it. It's great to work with these guys. Everyone at the office is fantastic. Everyone is great. It's an awesome working environment. I learned a ton of stuff being there, and it was just a great environment to be in. It's a motivating environment to be in, and I just can't speak highly of it enough. I think it was the best way I could have spent my summer, but was that way, and I would do it again. And it was just awesome. I really can't say enough to speak of the internship. It was fantastic, and I really highly recommend anyone, if they're interested, to check it out. If you go to the FSF.org website, I think on the bottom of the screen you'll see something about internships, so you'll find it. Definitely check it out. And if you're not a member of the FSF, I'd really highly recommend becoming a member. It's $10 a month. And you're supporting an awesome cause of free software. There's nothing, you know, no better charity to donate to than free software. And it's just great. It's a privilege to be able to support a movement like this. So if you've ever been on the fence, I really highly recommend supporting the FSF. They do awesome work. They the way they think is amazing. They opened my mind to a lot of things and how to reach the most people and how to not think closed-minded and how to think in broad strokes, more or less, for less of a better word. If you thought about joining and haven't or whatever, I highly recommend joining. It's just great. Anyways, so I interned at the FSF. We worked on a campaign I don't know if you would use the word release, but we worked on a campaign. I don't know if I'm of liberty to talk of it or not, so I'm going to hold back on that. We worked on a campaign. That was really interesting to see how they do that. There's a lot of processes involved, and it's very interesting. They don't do anything half-baked. Everything is done with a lot of things in mind. And again, they try to see how many people they can reach. They set certain goals to reach, and it's very interesting to see how all of that worked. And halfway through the internship, though, I started working with Ruben Rodriguez from Triskel, and I spoke with him about making Triskel accessible. And what I originally was going to do is take the Vinix scripts, because those are free software, and I'm sure all of you know of Vinix from me. So anyways, I was going to take the Vinix scripts, and I was going to apply the Vinix scripts to Triskel, because Triskel is based off of Ubuntu, Vinix is, so I figured everything should have pretty much worked with just maybe tweaking it a little bit, because Triskel doesn't support any non-free software, and Vinix does. So I thought if I tweaked the scripts a little bit, it was going to work. Well, anyways, I got a hold of Ruben and talked to him about this idea, telling him that I'm a blind GNU Linux user, and I was interested in doing this, and I told him about Vinix, and I thought it would be great to have completely free software that was accessible. So we started talking, and he looked at the Vinix scripts, and he said, oh, I see what they're doing here, but he didn't want to do it that way. And I guess before I get ahead of myself, really, we were even thinking of not forking, but kind of making a accessible version of Triskel. So I was telling Ruben about this, and Ruben was the one that said, no, I don't want to make an accessible version. I want to put the changes right into the main release. And I was like, wow, really? I was like, well, I don't want it to be like too intrusive for people if, if you don't need accessibility, you don't want to be annoyed with that. And he was like, no, you know what? We'll figure out a way to do this. So we were talking, and he was just really interested in this idea. He never had thought about it, which you can't blame people that don't depend on accessibility. Obviously, really don't think about it too much. You just take things for granted. So I don't blame, people for that. And so when I started bringing up the issues in accessibility, he was really intrigued by this. So he wanted to make the main release accessible. So we worked together, and he made the main changes into the Ubiquiti installer. So what he did, this is really impressive. In like 10 to 20 lines of code, he was able to change the Ubiquiti installer. So what happens is when you put in the Triskel 5.0 release, which, by the way, is going to be released on Saturday, Software Freedom Day. So these changes are in effect as of 5.0 on Saturday. When you download Triskel, you will have these changes, which is awesome. So when you download the ISO, you burn it, you put it in your CD drive. So if you sit at the main screen where you choose the languages, if you don't touch anything for like 20 or 30 seconds, the CD will boot automatically into a live session and Orca will be running. So a blind or low vision person could install Triskel completely by themselves, just like Vinix. Again, the only difference is Ruben made these changes hard-coded into the installer itself. Vinix takes scripts, and they basically build an ISO using these scripts, and they build an ISO, so the install it essentially does the same thing, but the installer on Vinix isn't what has the changes in it. It's the way the ISO is built. So Triskel put these changes into the main release, into the actual installer. Hopefully, we'll be able to get Ubuntu and Linux Mint and anyone else that uses the Ubiquiti installer will be able to have these accessible changes, which is awesome. And so instead of making one specific, accessible distro for blind and low vision users, what Ruben did was first, he'll be the first release of a GNU Linux distro to have accessibility built right into the main release. Second, we're looking to build a framework. We don't want just one person to benefit. We want everyone to benefit. We want the community to be able to push these changes upstream. We want every distro to be accessible, not just one. We want to give choice to blind and low vision users and even paraplegics and every other disability you can imagine we're going to try and cover, and which is what leads into sort of the project I'm looking to work along the side with the FSF is. And so we're looking to build like an accessibility framework basically for other distributions and other free software to follow. And what we want to do is get together people that work on accessibility or are interested in accessibility. We're going to have mumble meetings twice a week, and we're going to talk about issues within accessibility and see how we can work together, see how we can put all of our efforts into one basket and not be so broken up and in one person over here, one person over there. I want to get everyone together and work on accessibility to make a difference. Because interning at the FSF, I realized that I want to be an advocate of free software with accessibility. And this is the thing that I'm going to do. And so we want to work on building a framework for accessibility and bringing awareness to accessibility and free software. And so I'm going to hopefully be working alongside the FSF with a project. And we'll be looking to do different things to bring awareness. If you want to go to a website, you can go to libreplanet.org/group/sonar. That's libreplanet.org/group/sonar. And you'll see what's going on there. We haven't started anything just yet. One of the campaign managers, Josh, is finishing up a few things at the office. And once that is done, we're going to be looking into launching this project. And I'm just extremely excited about this opportunity for software freedom and accessibility. So that's what I've been doing that's what I started doing at the FSF, and it's been awesome. It's been a great time. I don't have any definite things that we're doing yet. We have a lot of plans, but nothing is actually set in place. So I don't want to speak too much on what we plan on doing, because I'm not sure what we're going to do first or 100% how we're going to go about it just yet. So we're still in the not really the planning stage, but the launching stage. So I will definitely keep everyone up to speed with what's going on with that. But it was just great to work with Ruben at Triskel to implement those changes. Hopefully that's just the beginning, and we can work with other, maybe we can work on the Anaconda installer with Fedora, and any other installer. And I think Debian's even going to start working on their installer to make it accessible. So I mean, this is just great to see this. There's more, accessibility news on the horizon. It looks like Orca and XFCE Desktop are starting to work together. They just started an accessibility mailing list, which I'm excited about. I joined. And it seems like Orca is becoming very close to being really accessible with XFCE. I guess it works pretty well now, but it looks like Orca and XFCE are working together, which is awesome news, and that'll give us even more options and freedom and accessibility. So I think I talked everyone's ear off now. I'm not sure. But again, I want to mention the feeds. We will be changing the feeds November 1st. So everyone be ready, be on the lookout. I will keep mentioning it throughout the shows. Thank you for everyone for listening still. Thank you for not killing the feeds, taking the feeds off your podcatchers. And let's see, what else? Let's see. The feeds should be working now. There was a problem with them. They were down for, I think, a week. I started getting a bunch of notices on Identica and emails and stuff. So the feed should be fixed by now because you have this podcast. And I think that is everything. Again, thank you all for listening, for staying tuned, and continue your dedication to free software. And everything will be back in effect on Frostbite Media. We have lots of interviews lined up for this week in Fedora. We've got a handful of interviews lined up for this week in Debian. We've got tons of interviews lined up for Frostcast. So within the next week or two, we will be back in full effect. And sorry for all of the the hit or miss weeks of podcasts, but I'm trying to catch up with everything. The internship pushed me back a little bit, in a sense, but the internship was awesome. So, again, thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you soon. See you next week. Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone, or you yourself, are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us. We can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.